Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for our worship service by getting in the mood to speak to each other. Let's greet and give God's peace to the neighbor sitting next to us, across from us, behind us, in front of us. Now then, if I can get your attention, would you please continue this preparation by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. In order to cover our announcements today quickly and efficiently, I would like for you to open your bulletin because the announcements, many of them, are on the inside of the insert page. If you will look at that on the back and notice that we have two important meetings this week. One is Administrative Board on Sunday the 30th. Guess what? That's this afternoon. So you need to be in the Trinity class this afternoon about 5 o'clock if you're a member of the Administrative Board, because we have things we need to do in preparation for Charge Conference. Also, Tuesday, November the 1st, is a church-wide meeting with the main purpose to discuss the content and quality and timing of the Out Loud service, the early morning 8:45 service. All are invited. All are encouraged to come with suggestions for what they would like to see in that early morning worship service. It will be conducted by Carl Kelly, the chair of the administrative board, with Carol Harley, chair of worship, and with me as the lay leader there to take notes so that we can funnel this through to a task force from the worship committee. I also want to call your attention to the Holiday Bazaar, which you will notice on that page, as well as the Main Streeters trip. I have two other things I want to call to your attention that are on the back page in your calendar. The first one is the Youth Coffee House tonight. If you will notice, it's called Youth Coffee House, but that doesn't mean only young people can come. This is a coffee house for everyone in the church. So please come and support our youth. Also, on Wednesday, November the 2nd, our program for the gathering is going to be an interesting one that Lee Roberts is going to be talking about. It's entitled Healthy Sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reaching that stage in life when I sometimes wonder what happens at 4 o'clock in the morning, why I suddenly wake up and don't go back to sleep so easily. Or whether I want to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon. So Lee's going to be talking to us about healthy sleep, characteristics of it, and what we can do to have healthier sleep. I finally want to ask you, remind you, that Mud Pies is an activity, a part of Main Street Church. And I want to encourage all of you to keep this group of youngsters in your minds. They would love to have volunteers from the church. I don't think it's possible for anybody to have too many grandparents. They would love to have folks who will come and read a story or do a craft activity with one class or one age group, or be willing to do a 10-minute devotional for our children, because they come into the chapel every Wednesday from 9:30 to about 9:40 for a devotional. That's about as long as little ones can sit still. So if you would be willing to give us some time and integrate these kids into our church, and also work with staff to integrate them into this church as members and active part of this church. Mud Pies folks would greatly appreciate it. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
All those who are able, please stand for the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to God, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. We thank you, God, for your steadfast love, for your wonderful works to humankind. For you satisfy the thirsty and fill the hungry with good things. Fill our hearts with wisdom, that we may ponder the majesty of your loving deeds.
Thank you. Let us join together in praying our prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. O God of hosts, from the rising of the setting of the sun, your name is great. We gather to glorify your name and to rededicate ourselves to the covenant between us. Ours is the covenant, and you have inscribed in life and peace. It is written upon the tablets of our hearts. Shine there your light. Reveal to us your word, and we will not stumble. Amen. And joining together in affirmation, a statement of faith, the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus went up on a mountainside and began to teach, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Jesus has also said,
"Come, you are blessed by my Father.
Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you,
prepared since the creation of the world.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted."
John in Revelation writes,
"God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit the earth."
From the psalmist we read,
"The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace."
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
According to Isaiah,
"Come, all you who are thirsty,
and you who have no money,
come, buy and eat."
Blessed are the merciful,
for they will be shown mercy.
James writes,
"Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful."
Blessed are the pure in heart,
for they shall see God.
The psalmist asks us,
"Who may ascend the hill of the Lord?
Who may stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart."
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they shall be called sons of God.
It is James who says,
"Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness."
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Hear the words of the Apostle Peter.
If you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear.
Do not be frightened.
But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord.
I invite you now to join in the singing of the psalm. We'll be using Psalm 107. You'll find this on the inside back page 5 in your bulletin. The section at the top is the response, which we will ask you to sing with us. The choir will be singing the text that you see below. We'll begin with that song response, which Joyce will play now.
The epistle reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Listen now for God's word to us. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preached God's good news among you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were pure and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you into his kingdom to share his glory. And we will never stop thanking God that when we preached his message to you, you didn't think of the words we spoke as just being our own. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it was. And this word continues to work in you who believe. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel lesson is from the 23rd chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, verses 1 through 12. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the scriptures. So practice and obey whatever they say to you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they preach. They crush you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra-wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear extra-long tassels on their robes. And how they love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the most prominent seats in the synagogue. They enjoy the attention they get on the streets, and they enjoy being called rabbi. Don't ever let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are on the same level as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father. And don't let anyone call you master, for there is only one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Adding to our prayer concerns that are printed in your bulletin, would like to add Billy Harley and Chuck Drake, who is in the process of maybe having surgery, and also for the friends of Stan Miller, who passed away this week. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Let us pray. Holy Lord, as we pause to give glory to your holy name, to pray for our friends, to pray for those who we love and know, to pray for ourselves, to affirm this day that we indeed are children of God, that we have committed ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our faith rests in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that we long for his return. To pray and to affirm our faith, but to also remember our enemies. Those who, if given the chance, would inflict harm upon us and our children, upon those who are innocent of any dangers or innocent of any afflictions that have come their way. So we pray, O God, for them, and we pray for the peace of the world. O God, that children everywhere would grow up in a loving and caring environment. And we know, dear God, that if we would just put our minds together, that we could live in a wonderful world. But we have divisions, and we have hypocrisy among us. We have those who would lie and cheat and steal. Oh God, we pray for them. And we pray for ourselves again, when we have been a part of those who have inflicted harm and hurt upon others. When we as a church have not been a manifestation of the body of Christ. Holy God, forgive us. Draw us close to you. May we feel your holy presence. And may we again know of assurance that our sins are forgiven, that we are your children. And again, we pray for those who are sick and ill, for those who are away from home, those who are hurting this day for whatever reason. Holy God, be with them. Be with us this day as we worship you, praying always as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, we sanctify these gifts for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanking you again, dear God, for the privilege to worship in our giving. Bless giver and gift, those who have not and those who choose not to give this day. May your name be uplifted, and may your name be known through all the world as a result of the faithfulness of your people everywhere. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, there it is. I love to hear that change. Do you remember what we're saving money for? Nope, cow. It's a cow. You guys are doing awesome. Now, I want you to use your imagination this morning. I want you to imagine that we have been together and I've been talking about helping out one another and being a group and accomplishing things quicker because we work together, and togetherness is the way to go, and working as a team. And I want you guys to work as a team. And so after I give you this big long lesson on working as a team, I say, okay, we have a challenge. We need to clean the whole sanctuary, but we got to do it as quickly as possible. And I tell everybody something to do. So you go, you know, make sure the cushions are all straight, and maybe Bennett has to, you know, make sure that all the stuff's picked up out of the floor, and Griffin's got a job to do to make sure everything's in order up here, and everybody's got a job to do. While I sit up here and bark orders at you, maybe file my nails, maybe read a magazine, and all of that. And when everybody's done, you're all sweaty, you've worked so hard. And I say, man, we did a great job. We did a fabulous job. How would you feel? Would you think, yeah, you might be happy that it's over, but would you think I helped any? I just barked orders at you guys after giving you this big, long lesson about working as a team, right? Well, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was kind of touching on that. He said the teachers of the law, the religious law, and the Pharisees were teaching everybody, teaching Jesus' people, God's people, about the religious law. And he said, now you need to do what they say, but don't do what they do. You know why? Because they were teaching it. They may have known it, but they weren't really doing it themselves. Now, that's not really good, is it? You know, we still need to listen to our teachers and stuff. But we also need them. Who's ever heard of practice what you preach? You know, if I would have helped you guys clean the sanctuary, we'd have gotten done even quicker, right? Well, that's what Jesus was saying. You know, do the right thing, but practice what you preach. And here's a little something that goes along with what he was saying about those religious teachers and the Pharisees. You can know a lot of scripture and have the gift to teach, but what is more important is to practice what you preach. We need to remember to do that, okay? If we say we love Jesus, then other people need to see that. We need to practice what we preach. Can we say a prayer together? Okay, bow your heads. Dear Father, it is important for us to tell others about Jesus, but remember, it's even more important for others to see Jesus in us. We love you. Amen. Bye, guys. Thank you.
I would like to thank all of you for your prayers during my sickness, and it sure was good to be back. I will have to say, when Dr. Kim said, "And you can go back to work," I was a little shocked because the other doctor said I was going to get 3 weeks. So I was already thinking, man, now I can take off and go see my grandbaby in Texas when I get feeling better. And so I have to schedule that for another day. And but I do appreciate all the cards. Y'all have been so kind, and the acts of kindness, the fruit and food and all those wonderful things. It's so good to be back in God's house with you. Just think, last Sunday I was listening to this broadcast on the radio, and it was nice to hear and to know that everything was moving along nicely, but it wasn't as nice as being here. And this morning I have two friends that are here in the church, Dr. Paul Becker and his wife Estelle. They are visiting here from Lexington, and so I welcome them. Paul has been a parishioner of mine and a golf friend for years, and a chiropractor for me, and so we have known each other for a long time, and I performed their wedding a little over a year ago. So it is good to have them in our worship service this day. When I read the passage of Scripture that we have read this morning in Matthew, I looked at it and I said, you know, this is a reading that you wouldn't have any knowledge of what it was talking about unless you did some research and unless you understand Judaism. And we're Methodists. We don't have phylacteries. We got a book of discipline and that kind of stuff. And I said, what in the world? How in the world do we relate that to today? Until it got to the point that began to say, and they don't live what they say. They just want to put burdens on other people. And I said, now we can resonate with that. We understand those who, as we say in our common vernacular, they can talk a good game. We know about Monday morning quarterbacks. We know about all those that can tell a good story, but they don't follow through. And as I read this passage of Scripture and did some research and owe a debt of gratitude today to King Duncan and Leonard Sweet in their research and their writings on this passage, the reference was made that tomorrow is Halloween. And Halloween had its beginning in the Celtic tradition, where that one day during the year that the souls of people would search for places of habitation, and those who were good would be able to inhabit newborn babies, and those who had been bad would inhabit animals and that type of thing. And so the tradition had its birth back there. And then we talk about those saints. And then the first day in November, All Saints Day, next Sunday we'll be celebrating All Saints Sunday here. And we celebrate those who have journeyed with us and who have been a part of our life and a part of our story of faith, who have joined the church triumphant, the church eternal. And tomorrow there will be those who will be putting on some false faces. They will be putting on their mask. They'll be going out and trick-or-treating and endeavoring to get some candy maybe at a good neighbor's house. And I've already bought me a couple bags of candy, and I know the routine. Turn on your porch light, and those will come and knock on your door. As a young boy, I enjoyed it so much that I went a day early, and somebody said, I said, trick or treat. They said, that's not till tomorrow. I said, I know, but I'm just practicing. But as I look at this passage of Scripture. And I think about the time that we are living in. I'm a little bit tired already of some of these politicians. And some of the stories that they tell and some of the debates, and I think, man, we still got almost a year to go. And sometimes we realize that even that those get elected are not always doing or remembering what they said they would do. And I think about myself, about my faith, about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I realize that from time to time, we all wear masks. From time to time, we are not what we need to be. Or maybe it's just me. I'm not what I need to be. When I read the passage that talks about taking up my cross and following Christ, when I think about what it means for my faith to be so precious to me, and the absolute joy that I have in being the pastor here with you at Main Street, to enjoy the benefits and the privileges of being with you, and then asking myself whether I am giving all to serve my master. I think again and I realize that the church is full of hypocrites. That the call of Christ, when we really get honest with ourselves, for many of us, it makes us aware of just how inadequate our witness really is. This morning at breakfast, I was talking with one of our church members here, and we were talking about the church and about membership, and I said, you know, the reality to have a church growing is for each one of us to be endeavoring to reach someone else for the cause of the kingdom of God. To share our faith with others and to ask them and to lead them into a heart-changing experience of embracing Christ as their Savior and leading them into what it means to be a children of God and to confess their sins and to ask for forgiveness. In an interview in the magazine The Door, the famed psychiatrist M. Scott Peck tells about the first time that he went to hear the Swedish physician Paul Tegnér, one of the most influential Christians in the world. In following Tegnér's lecture, there was a time of questioning and dialogue, and a man stood up and he asked Dr. Tegnér, he said, "What do you think about all the hypocrites in the churches in America?" There was a bit of a stumbling over the English translation and the words as Dr. Tegnér endeavored to understand what the man was asking. And he didn't understand what the word hypocrite was. And several people offered definitions: phony, pretending to be something that they're not, unauthentic, false. And suddenly the doctor's eyes lit up and he says, "Ah, hypocrites. Now I understand." And he said the word, and I guess I'm pronouncing it right. He said, "Si es mujer. Si es mujer." "I," he said about himself, "am the hypocrite." The closer we are to Jesus, the more that we measure our life by His life, the more aware we are of our shortcomings. And we cry out with Dr. Tirnair, "It's me. I am the hypocrite." Someone said that if a hypocrite is standing between you and God, it just means that the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. Tomorrow's Halloween. We all wear masks. And that's what Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about. He's saying, "You're wearing your religion on your sleeves. You're wearing the long tassels and the phylacteries, the little leather boxes." And these were objects that communicated to others of how religious they were. They had no other practical purpose. The common people, like shepherds and fishermen, they didn't wear them. But the Pharisees, they would put all types of pressures on people to obey the law and make sure that you didn't do one thing that caused you to be outside of the law. Most of us know many, if not all, of the Ten Commandments. These Pharisees had taken the Ten Commandments and they had increased them to 613 laws. I remember when I was in seminary and we were talking about people who are not wanting to violate the Sabbath. And one of the professors told about an elevator that was in one of the cities, and on the Sabbath all the buttons were pushed. And the elevator stopped on every floor because to reach your hand up and to push a button on the elevator was constituted as work. And therefore, you didn't want to work and violate the Sabbath. I remember as a little boy, my dad teaching me about things that you did and you didn't do on the Sabbath. You didn't cut grass. You didn't hammer. And I will never forget the day that I found a firecracker in the floorboard of the car and ran out in the yard and popped it, and somebody stuck their head out and said, "Who popped that firecracker? Don't you know it's Sunday?" And how guilty I felt. And the things today that I do or I don't do because of that upbringing. I was riding down the road with Linda, and Linda's an old farm girl, and we were riding along, and there was a guy out in the field, and it was a Sunday, and he was cutting the hay, and I said, "Boy, you wouldn't have seen that a few years ago." And Linda looked at me and says, "You would if he needed to cut his hay." She said, it might be the only time. He's trying to get it in before the rain comes. He's working hard. The harvest won't wait on him. He has to do it now. And I felt that twinge of, here I was being critical of someone who maybe is doing the best they can do. Jesus said the Pharisees tie heavy, cumbersome loads on people's shoulders, but they themselves won't lift a finger to alleviate that role. And what makes things worse is they don't practice what they preach. Be careful about judging other people by the mask that they wear. Marilyn Morgan Hellenberg tells about a creature that appeared at her door one Halloween. She called it the scariest creature she had ever seen. The rubber mask covered the young man's face and head. It had twisted features, a pulled-down mouth, a bright red wound on its cheek, and quickly, Marilyn said, she dropped a couple of her homemade baked cookies into the young man's sack, slammed the door, and hurried away, scared to death. A couple of days later, when the paper boy came to collect, he said to her, those sure were good cookies you gave out on Halloween. Yeah, that was the young man behind the mask, Marilyn said. She could hardly believe that Darren, a real sweetheart of a kid, she says he was so good-natured and polite and was working to become an Eagle Scout. And it made Marilyn wonder, could there be a lovable child of God behind some ugly mask that we wear? The person with the stringy, unwashed hair who sits near us in church, or maybe sat there last week, might be a sweet-natured child with little self-esteem. That opinionated man who seems so cocky. Is it possible that there's a little boy behind his blustery camouflage, hoping his fear won't show? The Pharisees were wearing masks. They were pretending a piety that they did not possess. Who among us has not done the same? There's one reality. Regardless of the masks that we wear, we cannot fool God. There's a song that came to my mind. I used to sing it as a young boy, and I can't remember all the words anymore. People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. The reminder is, one thing that God cannot stand, it's a fake. Christ calls us to service. To service to Him and to service to others. How will other people know that we are truly disciples of Christ? By our love. By our service to others. After Jesus pointed out the grievous behavior of the Pharisees, Jesus concluded with what was really important, is in showing our devotion to God. He said to us, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Loving service to others is something that can't be faked. Jesus didn't say for us to lead, but he said for us to follow him. To follow him into all the world and make leaders, not to make leaders, but to go into all the world and make disciples. What is the mask that we're wearing as a church? How is it we need to communicate the love of Christ? May Christ guide us in the way that we should be, to be his people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn number 463, Lord, Speak to Me. Let us stand together. Benediction is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. God came down to us like the sun at morning, wounded to the heart by our helplessness.